how to feel as a Jewish person by people who are not Jewish. I'm tired of being told to feel afraid when these marches are, by and large, peaceful. And people are so lovely to us and so thankful to us. It really shows the ignorance of Jewish opinion outside of their very small Zionist rabble. This is where real leadership is coming from. It's on the streets, not parliament. These are the lions. The political leaders are the donkeys, she said. The Zionist regime and its apologists are right to be scared of what a new generation of American and British Jews are telling them. For the last 8 decades, the child killer regime of Israel governed a consensus about its existence, identity, and purpose that was more powerful than all the arms, money, and Jewish migrants it received. The weaker this consensus becomes, the quicker the Zionist regime will lose its influence in the centers of Western powers. Already, the compulsive addiction of support for the Zionist regime is upending the West's own attempts to explain to itself that it is a moral force, a force for good in the world. Under the British government's latest definition of extremism, it is right to support a government that flouts the Genocide Convention, starves a population under occupation, and kills unarmed mothers and children at will, but extremists to protest against that on the streets of London. This is a patent absurdity. It is left to the likes of South Africa to show Britain the way. It is now going to prosecute its citizens who return after fighting for the Zionist regime's army. It will take time to erode, but after what has happened in Gaza, the future will surely not guarantee the hold the Zionist regime has over every major Western political party. It will not be able to dictate the definition of anti-Semitism, nor will it guarantee the funds that aspiring Western politicians need. Today, every Tory and Labour politician with ambitions for the top job must, almost by definition, be a friend of Israel, a club that maintains a stronghold on each parliamentary party. That might not be true for the next generation of politicians. Jewish academic opposition to the fabricated regime of Israel is strong and vocal. It cannot accurately be called fringe. The child killer regime of Israel is now starting to lose the global Jewish voice.
Start. Movement. Speed. Living hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to Youth Station on IRIB English Radio, and I am one of your hosts today, Mustafa. And with me in the studio today is...
Yeah, this is Asma. Also, I have the honor to be with you in this studio.
So, we've entered the holy month of Ramadan, and
exactly.
We've been sort of, you know, discussing what are all the different sort of benefits, all sort of, it's kind of an open-ended discussion on, you know, about
yeah.
Ramadan and the different things that Muslims go through during this month. I think we all know that, you know, fasting is the most significant thing that, you know, everybody knows about it. But then...
And it's not just about not eating.
It's not just about not eating.
It's more than that. It's about protecting your eyes, your ears, your mind, everything. Your tongue, of course.
It's really working on your spirituality. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about in the previous episode, it's about really redefining ourselves, you know,
yes.
and our connection and our relationship with God.
We said it's all about moments. There are some moments that would change your entire entirely. And in this holy month, there are more of those moments because you have time to contemplate over yourself.
And then apart from the moments, then this month is also full of very significant days.
It's the month of revelation and inspiration.
Right. The Quran is towards, you know, was sent down towards the end of the month.
The Holy Book of Quran is the ending point to all the other religions.
Right.
That complete every single religion that we had before.
We have, for example, the death of the Prophet's first wife, you know, Hazrat Khadija. Her death is during this month. We have the birth of Imam Hassan during this month. The Battle of Badr took place during Ramadan. You know, that was Islam's first battle, right? Mm-hmm. So that was significant that Muslims were actually, you know, fasting during the time that war took place. We have the Shahada, the martyrdom of Imam Ali. And then, you know, the last nights we have Laylatul Qadr, right? So yeah. Is there anything I missed?
No. That's you already mentioned everything. And the thing which is so important is that the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam coincides with the nights that are supposed to be the nights of Qadr or destiny.
Right. They start with those.
They start with
Imam Ali's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is also significant and it adds to its significance.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many reminders throughout this whole month. I think it's sort of impossible to not be reminded of God, of, you know, of the Prophet, of the Quran. Even, you know, in non-Muslim societies, like, they also get attracted to this as well. And I know we're going to talk about that later on. But that's what I really love about Ramadan, is that it's just full of
moments.
Reminders. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just the hunger, you know, and not eating and the thirst, that reminds you of what you're going through, right?
Exactly. And it's a preparation, actually, for the days to come, the afterlife.
Right.
It's going to have the same condition. I suppose they talk a lot about the things that we all are going to go through in the Day of Judgment. So it's going to be something like this. Like, everybody is trying so hard to survive, and they go through hunger, they go through thirst, they are in a sort of excitement.
Right.
So I guess we have to go for a short break and then come back.
Sure. Okay, so we're back from the break and we're discussing, kind of having an open-ended discussion, you know, about Ramadan and all of the things that we love about it and the things that we experience through it.
Still, you're listening to Youth Station, of course.
Oh, yes, you're listening to Youth Station.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that. Please forgive me, I am fasting, right?
So it's okay.
There's a few less brain cells working up here.
Of course.
But we're being rewarded for that, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the beauties of this month, is that you're even rewarded for sleeping.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Even a sleeping gets to have some rewards.
So even the forgetfulness, I should be getting some rewards for that.
Of course. So you actually mentioned a list of the occasions, the special occasions that we have in the holy month of Ramadan. There's also another very important day in the calendar, which is the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, and that is called the Day of Quds, in which people are going to gather together and they are going to work as a reminder for people not to forget the Quds.
I guess the days that I mentioned were all sort of historical days, right? From Islamic history and from, for example, from the Prophet and the Imams. But yeah, this day, the last Friday, is very important. And it was a day that Imam Khomeini designated for, you know, he's the one who sort of initiated this movement, I would say, or this day to remind people of the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa and Quds. so that we don't forget it.
Like, people are suffering, kids are dying, women are going through excruciating moments, and then we as Muslim people must be united to help all of them.
I feel like almost every week is like Yom al-Quds these days.
Exactly,
in all parts
of
the world. Like, a lot of times it would just be Shias or just Muslims, for example, participating in Yom al-Quds. Right now you see that it's everyone, right? Non-Muslims, Muslims, like...
And every Friday after the praying, they all gather together to say that they don't forget what's going on in there.
So I think, you know, this year's Yom al-Quds, the last Friday, will be very, very significant and should probably be very huge. And you can sort of see Imam Khomeini's vision, right? He did this like, what was it, like 30, 40 years ago when he decided to do this. And now we're seeing the culmination of that, you know, that in... all of humanity is sort of waking up to how important this issue is of
what's
So,
and the oppression that people of Palestine are going through just because of a tyrant.
Right. You know, you're right. I mean, the oppression is I mean, it's unbelievable. It's also it's actually unimaginable what kind of things that they're doing. But, you know, the fact that I think, I don't know if this is why Imam Khomeini picked the last Friday Ramadan, but I think one of the reasons is that we become so purified, right? That's what we talked about. We become so purified by the end of Ramadan that we're now really ready to address the oppression of the world, right? We're not just purifying ourselves just for the sake of, like, for example, our individual selves, right?
Exactly.
Islam is much more than just the individual spirituality. It's like the collective spirituality of humanity.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. You know how I take it? I usually look at it like this, that now we all are recommended to, through our narrations and everything, and through the condition of today's world, we are praying so hard for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi Ajalallah Faraja. So that day of his reappearance is going to be the Eid. The greatest Eid for all the Muslim people and every single person in this world. Now, the Eid of the holy month of Ramadan is actually like that Eid that we are waiting for. But in order to get there, we have to eliminate all the difficulties and all the problems and look for the oppressed people.
Right.
So we have to go through that and to find a way to help the oppressed people in order to get to that Eid.
And definitely, you know, since we ourselves are hungry during that time, I think, I remember during one of the Yom al-Quds, it was like the weather was extremely hot, you know, but still... people were out, you know, in thousands or millions or whatever. You know, I think even that hunger sort of reminds us of the oppression of, you know, and we know right now, for example, they're facing like huge level of hunger and starvation in Palestine. So yeah, those are all the sort of different days, and I hope I didn't miss any other days.
Yeah, hopefully we didn't. We mentioned they were outlined.
Right. But you know, other than that, during this month, so all the things that we talked about, one of the things that's really emphasized is the different type of supplications, the du'as, that we have to read during this month.
But let's just put them for after the break.
Okay. Sure.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Yes, welcome back. This is Arab English Radio, Youth Station, and we were talking about the supplications.
Right, there's so many supplications that are recommended during this month. For example, we have the supplication of, you know, welcoming the month from the fourth Imam. There are supplications for every single day of the month, and each one of those has like different messages and lessons in it, right? And they're really short, by the way, the ones that are of the everyday. Another dua that's really emphasized is dua iftitah, but that's a longer dua. That's about, takes about 20-25 minutes.
But it's very
minutes.
Beautiful. The content is so literary.
Right. Yeah. Those are some of the ones that are coming to my mind. Are there any others?
There's another one, which is Da Abi Hamza. That's also a very beautiful text, I would call it. That's not just a supplication. It's as if somebody is talking out of your tongue. Somebody is talking your heart out.
Right.
That's also so beautiful.
All of the du'as, the imams expressed things so beautifully.
Yeah.
It's that to me is like almost like a miracle, you know, just how beautifully those du'as expressed. Because you don't find normal human beings being able to express themselves that well or that way, right?
Yeah, that in that complete sort of way.
Right.
Like, I remember when I was a child, like, you know, girls start to go through these things earlier, like in a time where there's so much of Aikido. So it was so difficult for me to understand the philosophy behind these supplications. Mm. Like, I just look at the pages. I remember when my mother used to read them. And then I was just sitting next to her and just counting the pages and saying, this is too much. How are we going to go through all these pages and why? But then as I grew older, I started to understand that these are my words. Now when I read them, I did not feel like the number of the pages. All I feel is the idea that are going to be inspired to my heart.
Right.
So when we are younger, we do not understand what's going on in those pages. But as we get older, these words are going to become our alter egos.
Right. The whole purpose of these du'as is to connect us, you know, deeply with God, to help us express ourselves, to help us, to help teach us, right?
Yeah.
They're full of lessons and messages.
And obedience is one of the greatest messages that are mentioned in those supplications. Like, normally, we as human beings, we feel like everything must be prepared to us. Everything must be provided. Mm. And God is the one who's going to provide everything for us. And if any problem happens to me, then my life is a miserable life. Then God is not doing anything to me. But these du'as are going to teach us that you are an obedient human being. You must see everything in that spotlight. Like, from that angle, you must look at everything. So everything that happens to you, it's just a testing.
Well, also, these du'as are very comforting as well, right?
Yeah.
If you are going through difficult times, and when you read some of the words that the imams express, they comfort you. They help make you feel better.
As if you're meeting a therapist.
It is. It's self-therapy almost, right? Reading these du'as and reading the Quran, it really is. And of course, if I would say God is probably the best therapist out there, He's the best teacher. He's most merciful. And that's also one of my therapists also says, by the way. You know, someone asked him, what was the question they asked him? It was related to therapy. And he said that, you know, he felt that God is the best therapist. You know,
he said
we can only help you, you know, we can sort of help you in day-to-day issues, but ultimately God can cure you.
Exactly like what we go through when we read these pages. It's very clear that it has been a therapy. Like, you might cry, you might just bear your soul out to God. But then after you finish, it's as if you've been through a process of purgation. Like, everything has gone and everything has faded away. Like, all the terrible things that has enchanted you are just fading away.
All right. Well, wish everyone listening a really happy Ramadan. And, you know, I hope you're successful in all of your prayers and all of your spiritual endeavors. And please pray for us as well.
Yeah. So thank you for staying with us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, 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 Ya Latif.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Esports. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
The stage is set for more intense resistance operations against the occupying entity called Israel this Ramadan, which can prove the last nail in its coffin. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, Ramadan, the month of fasting and divine grace, has commenced again. Fasting is not merely an abstention from food, but an exercise in self-restraint and self-discipline. It's also the time for Muslims to reflect on the challenges they face and reaffirm their commitment to the Quranic teachings of unity and standing up against all forms and manifestations of evil. At the moment, the most pressing issue for Muslims is related to the besieged Gaza Strip, where the US-backed Israeli regime war of genocide, now in its 6 months, has already claimed over 31,000 precious lives, mostly women and children, and over 71,000 have been injured. The efforts to broker a truce before the commencement of the holy month, in which the Noble Quran was revealed in its entirety, failed to materialize due to the occupying entity's hard-nosed stance. With the Zionist regime intent on committing more massacres and war crimes ahead of a potential invasion of Rafah, it is clear that securing the release of Israeli captives in Gaza was never high on the regime's agenda. What they seek is the obliteration of the resistance group Hamas, which in reality means the people of Gaza. As the month of mercy, Ramadan has always been an opportune time to bring about ceasefire agreements, as was the case between some countries who agreed a truce. Coinciding with the start of Ramadan that year, the ethnic Malay Muslim separatists in Thailand and the Thai government have also agreed in principle to a ceasefire spanning the holy month and the Thai festival of Songkran in mid-April. Earlier this week, the UN Security Council also adopted a UK-drafted resolution that called for a Ramadan ceasefire in Sudan amid the country's devastating war. One of the reasons Ramadan is known as the Month of Mercy is because the gates of heaven are open while those of hell are considered closed to the sincere believers. As such, it has also been a time in the year when those engaged in resistance activities intensify their activities. In early Islamic history, the month of Ramadan had events such as the Battle of Badr, the liberation of Mecca, and other such events. Hamas officials have also warned of more intense operations this month if the Zionist regime continues its aggression against Palestinians in Gaza. The spokesperson for the armed wing of Hamas, Abu Obeide, referred to Ramadan as the month of Victory, the Month of Jihad. A recent poster by Al-Qassam Brigades stated, "We welcome the month of Ramadan with the pinnacle of Islam, jihad, steadfastness, and fighting, in a time that is depleted of true men." It is worth noting that the heroic 2014 Gaza War also took place in Ramadan. An article released by Al-Qassam 2 years later said the month has seen the actualization of exceptional Islamic victories. During the war, the Palestinian resistance, chiefly the Al-Qassam Brigades, fought the most impressive battles of heroism and martyrdom, the article stated further. The month of Ramadan symbolizing resistance is something the Zionist regime is well aware of, which was evident from the Ramadan message of Israeli regime military affairs ministry Yoav Gallant. The Zionist regime heritage minister Amichai Eliyahu upped the warmongering rhetoric, telling army radio that the month of Ramadan must be wiped out and our fear of this month must also be wiped out. It is thus accepted that, as with every year, the occupation forces will attempt to provoke Muslims in the occupied Al-Quds by restricting or violently clamping down on worshippers seeking to attend the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We have already seen that on the first night of the holy month of this year. The irony is not lost in the fact that Gaza War itself was sparked by the Zionist regime's continued acts of aggression against the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam. Indeed, Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, launched on October 7th, was a response to provocations in Al-Quds. Weeks into the war, a top Palestinian Islamic Jihad official quoted as saying, "The goal of the operation was to prevent the targeting of Al-Aqsa Mosque, disparaging or insulting of Muslim religious rights, assault of our women, efforts to Judaize Al-Aqsa Mosque, and normalize Israeli occupation of it or divide it temporarily and spatially. Thus, the continuation of hostilities during Ramadan is likely to feel a stronger resistance." Ariel Kahana, the Zionist regime's Hayyum senior diplomatic commentator, acknowledged that although Israel understands that Ramadan this year is particularly explosive, there seems to be a lack of real preparatory steps. Meanwhile, the axis of resistance groups are also ready to step up their operations in Ramadan, which was evident recently on the first day of the holy month. Yemeni military, led by the Ansarullah resistance movement, targeted another American-owned vessel in the Red Sea. The Islamic resistance in Iraq pounded the Ben Gurion airport in the occupied territories. Hezbollah fired more than 100 rockets at the Zionist regime targets early on Tuesday. So the stage is set for more intense resistance operations against the occupying entity this Ramadan, which can prove the last nail in its coffin.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, rid the burdens of your sins. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's an honor to be here on A to Z. We are talking about ridding ourselves of the burdens of sins. So, you know, sometimes we have a tendency, well, usually we have a tendency to not really understand what sins are. Of course, you know, we don't have so much time on the program to be able to talk about all the various different variables about sins, but I guess if we talk about the very essence of sins, it is in reality disobeying the commandments of the Almighty Allah. And it is this disobedience to the Almighty Allah and this rebellion against the Almighty Allah, which we call sins. And of course, they have various different forms. Now, there are certain things that sins do to us. One of the things is that if the soul or the heart is this white piece of paper or this white parchment, this white piece of cloth, what sins do is that they create a dark spot upon that. And then the more sins that we commit, God forbid, then the more black spots are added to that white piece of paper. Eventually, if, God forbid, things become really, really bad, then what happens is that that white piece of paper is completely filled with black, and there is very little white left. In general, my dear brothers and sisters, listeners, we have to be very careful of sins. We need to stay as far away as we can from sins. You know, many a times we are in full control of what we are doing, and many a times we know fully well what it is that we are doing. And despite knowing these things, and despite understanding that we are disobeying the Almighty Allah, and that we are rebelling against the Almighty Allah, who really has given us so much that we should be ashamed to be rebelling and disobeying Allah, we still end up doing these sins.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about ridding ourselves from the burden of sins. Now, sins, as we said, are the, in essence, the disobedience to the Almighty Allah, and it can occur in various ways, in various forms, and via various means. So already we have opened up three different chapters just within this one chapter of sins. Now, we won't talk about them because we don't have time. So, of course, I guess perhaps it would be nice to give a hint, but, you know, sins in the various forms can either be not doing what is wajib and obligatory, or doing that which is forbidden and haram. On the other hand, it has various different aspects, and via different methods, we can do it physically via our actions or via our thoughts, and of course via different means that are available to us. So, for example, we can use the internet to search for inappropriate images or videos, or we can, download music which is inappropriate, and vice versa. So, anyways, these are sins. Now, the holy month of Ramadan, this is what we want to get to. This holy month is a month which teaches us and guides us when it comes to Islamic lifestyle. It helps us to spend 30 days building and renewing and strengthening our Islamic lifestyle. It is the most excellent opportunity to ask for forgiveness and do istighfar and plead the Almighty Allah for His mercy and His compassion. He is the all-merciful, He is the all-compassionate, He is the most quick to forgive, and we have hope in Allah's forgiveness, but of course Allah's forgiveness comes about if we regret what we did and we sincerely repent, and the holy month of Ramadan is the month for repentance.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Thank you.
in the limelight. In the blessed month of Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine because of Israel's policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Ramadan, one of the most sacred months for Muslims worldwide, blends spiritual introspection with family life in the community, especially during the breaking of the fast known as Iftar. But for the inhabitants of war-ravaged Gaza, this month will be different from all previous ones. Gaza has been enduring a genocidal war marked by bombings, siege, and the dehumanization of Palestinians. This dehumanization turns children, pregnant women, and the elderly into legitimate targets for Israeli soldiers. Harrowing images from Gaza have become symbols of the cruelty of the settler colonial regime. This Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine due to the Israeli policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. This situation arises because Israel has failed to weaken the Hamas resistance group militarily or propose a plan for Gaza's future that does not involve Hamas as a representative of the people of Gaza. As a consequence of these abject failures, Israel has opted for a new strategy in Gaza to create a situation where no one emerges victorious, even though it is the regime that has faced defeat. The strategy of rendering Gaza uninhabitable and ungovernable involves provoking absolute chaos in the territory and creating a situation of full-scale famine. According to this toxic colonial strategy, if no political force is capable of maintaining even a minimum of governmental stability in the territory, it becomes entirely dependent on humanitarian aid. In the case of Gaza, the famine strategy designed by the Zionist colonial occupation is complemented by the distribution of humanitarian aid by the United States, described by many as a show reinforcing the dependency of the Palestinian territory and keeping it in a state of permanent chaos. The images of malnourished Palestinian bodies have become common on social media sites in recent days, even though the mainstream Western media continues to reduce these colossal human losses into cold statistics. The graphic images of mutilated bodies or malnourished babies are part of the daily reality faced by Palestinians of Gaza. The issue is not to create despair or evoke sympathy, but to expose the atrocities of the Zionist colonial occupation regime, which has assumed frightening proportions since 7th of October last year. Israel obsessively concerns itself with its public image, making desperate attempts to hide its genocidal crimes. However, in the battle for narratives, Zionist Hasbara, the propaganda organ of the colonial entity, has failed to conceal the reality of genocide and starvation it has imposed on Palestinians. During this holy month, it is also important to highlight the colonial expansion in other parts of Palestine, such as the occupied West Bank. Recently, the colonial regime approved the construction of more illegal settlements in the region. Many tougher restrictions have also been imposed on Palestinian worshippers from accessing the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the sacred month of Ramadan, with reports of multiple deadly raids on several parts of the occupied city of Al-Quds recently resulting in the martyrdom of at least 4 Palestinians. One of them was a 13-year-old teenage Palestinian boy who was shot and martyred by an Israeli sniper whilst bursting firecrackers outside his house near Shufat camp in occupied city of Al-Quds. The genocide and starvation in Gaza are meticulously designed to inflict harm and create atrocious conditions for the local population. Several Gaza residents have spoken about the deliberate destruction of farmland in the area, aiming to keep the population subdued and deprived of any ability to feed themselves. The destruction of fertile soil in Gaza with the clear aim of causing famine can also be understood through the decision of the occupying regime to flood tunnels in Gaza with seawater. According to several experts, this action would have led to the destruction of these soils and their potential agricultural use. Amid death and destruction, Israel continues its psychological warfare against Palestinians of Gaza. The leaflets dropped by the regime urge people to feed the needy, which rights activists perceive as a cruel irony given the situation of famine imposed by Israel itself. The message of feeding the needy reveals the insignificance of Palestinian lives to the colonial forces. Furthermore, it underscores the dehumanization of the Palestinian population and, along with it, the normalization of extermination, domination, exploitation, premature death, and even conditions worse than death, such as ruthless torture. For decades, Palestinians have lived in constant anticipation of death, a reality dating back before even 1947. Colonized individuals often anticipate degradation, humiliation, and murder. During the month of Ramadan, the Muslim community is particularly aware of the divine blessings in their daily lives. The notion of divinity should not be interpreted as something separate from earthly reality. On the contrary, the divinity of the Holy Quran implies a political struggle to establish a just community in this world. We cannot speak of justice, much less build a just society, while Gaza and the rest of Palestine continue to suffer genocide and starvation. The English website of Al Mayadeen Television Network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Ramadan, the month of fasting and divine grace, has commenced again. Fasting is not merely an abstention from food, but an exercise in self-restraint and self-discipline. It's also the time for Muslims to reflect on the challenges that they face and reaffirm their commitment to the Quranic teachings of unity and standing up against all forms and manifestations of evil. At the moment, the most pressing issue for Muslims is related to the besieged Gaza Strip, where the US-backed Israeli war of genocide, now in its sixth month, has already claimed over tens of thousands of precious lives, many of them Palestinian women and children. The efforts to broker a truce between the commencement of the holy month, in which the Holy Quran was revealed in its entirety, failed to materialize due to the occupying regime's hard-nosed stance. With Israel intent on committing more massacres and war crimes ahead of a potential invasion of southern Gaza Strip, city of Rafah, it is clear that securing the release of Israeli captives in Gaza was never high on Israel's agenda. What they seek is the obliteration of Hamas, which in reality means the Palestinians of Gaza. As the month of mercy, Ramadan has always been an opportune time to bring about ceasefire agreements, as was the case between Saudi Arabia and Yemen, who agreed to a truce agreement in 2022, coinciding with the start of Ramadan that year. The ethnic Malay Muslim separatists in Thailand and the Thai government have also agreed in principle to a ceasefire spanning the holy month of Ramadan and the Thai festival of Songkran in mid-April. Earlier this week, the UN Security Council also adopted a UK-drafted resolution that called for a Ramadan ceasefire in Sudan amid the country's devastating civil war. One of the reasons Ramadan is known as the month of mercy is because the gates of heaven are open, while those of hell are considered closed to the sincere believers. English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The dawns of the month of Ramadan should not be missed. The annual Ramadan Quranic meeting, April 30th, 2019. I would like to raise another point. Almost all of those individuals who are present in this meeting are Qurra. One of the things which has become common among Arab Qurra, the Egyptian Qurra, and Qurra from other countries, and which has been promoted in our country by them, is attaching too much significance to linking and assimilating words. I do not understand the reason for this. It is not at all necessary for us to link Quranic words and ayahs with the purpose of assimilation. In my opinion, this is not necessary at all. Of course, it is sometimes necessary, and conveying the message is sometimes dependent on assimilating words. So Qurra can do this, but the beauty and effect of recitation is not dependent on assimilation at all. Now, a number of well-known Egyptian Qurra are skilled at assimilation, and the audience applaud each Qurra in a way that it is typical of the common man. When they assimilate words and they constantly say Allah, Allah, in my opinion, both what the reciter and what the audience do is wrong.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
There are some individuals among good and outstanding Egyptian Qurra who do not frequently use assimilation and whose recitation is very good. Besides, they exert considerable influence. We can cite Abdul Fattah Sha'shai as an example. As you know, he does not use assimilation, but at the same time, he is one of the best and most influential reciters. I hope that Allah, the Exalted, will bestow His mercy and forgiveness on him and on all Qurra. Therefore, I request that Qurra do not bother with assimilation. The same is true of too much repetition. This is not necessary either. Because our time is over now and adhan is about to be said, I will only raise this point. I request that the audience observe limits when they want to applaud a reciter and when they want to say Allah, Allah. This is also another act of imitating the Arabs. As soon as a reciter of the Holy Quran begins reciting, some people constantly say Allah as if it were one of the necessary requirements after recitation. But it is not necessary to do so at all.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh,
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The people of Afghanistan are facing immense hardship and sorrow, with the country finding itself at the bottom of the World Happiness Report rankings. The report, which evaluates nations based on various factors such as freedom, health, and income, has named Afghanistan as the unhappiest, where almost everyone is very unhappy.
Everyone here agrees with the result of the World Happiness Survey. We are unhappiest, and that is because of the ongoing poverty, unemployment, and lack of freedom and opportunities. Furthermore, girls cannot receive education, which further adds to the misery of Afghan families. When women are despaired, families feel unhappy.
I have been unemployed for almost 3 years. Since then, I have not had any income. My young daughters are missing their school, and this situation is so tough. How can we be happy? The Afghan people have suffered decades of intervention and war, and they have not been happy. But experts say, under the rule of the Taliban, their circumstances have worsened.
The Afghan people have suffered decades of intervention and war, and they have not been happy. But experts say, under the rule of the Taliban, their circumstances have worsened.
As we speak, mental clinics across Kabul are receiving more patients than ever. As a psychologist, I witnessed the rise of mental health problems such as anxiety, stress, and depression. They have even led to suicide. If you take hope away from people, it will result in a depressed and dead nation. Hope is everything for human beings. If it is eroded, all progress will be lost.
The Afghan people are resilient. But the absence of basic human necessities and rights can crush even the strongest will. The international community and the ruling Taliban share a responsibility to bring some hope and light to the life of the crisis-stricken nation. Decades of foreign interventions and war have made Afghans the poorest and the saddest people on the planet. This nation has long yearned for peace and happiness, but it remains to be seen when or whether they find their lost dream. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
The appointment of a new Palestinian prime minister at the current circumstances could deepen divisions as the Israeli war on Gaza rages. This is what some Palestinian factions revealed after President Mahmoud Abbas appointed Mohammed Mustafa, a long-trusted advisor on economic affairs, as prime minister and tasked him with forming a new government. Both Hamas and resistance movements, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine and the Palestinian National Initiative, said that without national consensus, it's a reinforcement of a policy of exclusion and the deepening of division. We met Dr. Mustafa Al-Barghouti, Secretary General of the National Initiative. He told us that the most important thing is now a unified leadership.
We're not against the new government. We're against the way the government is being formed. We want a national consensus government, a government which is acceptable and accepted by all Palestinian political groups through a national dialogue between the different groups. And that is natural because, and for us, the main goal first before forming a government is how we structure a unified Palestinian national leadership.
Mohammed Mustafa replaces Mohammed Shtayyi, who resigned less than 3 weeks ago, citing the need for real change. Experts, however, say there had been mounting pressure on Abbas to reform the Palestinian Authority and initiate the establishment of a political framework capable of governing a future Palestinian state to take charge of all Palestinian territories after the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza ends.
First of all, that there was a pressure on Palestinian Authority to make some changes, and that's why they complied immediately and appointing Mohammed Mustafa as the new prime minister. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, which is most importantly as well, what the Palestinians wanted. The Palestinians don't want another government to be the same. The problem here is with Israel. Are they, and the international community, are they able to really make the change and let this government to work or not?
The new prime minister now would work to form a technocratic government of experts. Abbas has also asked Mustafa to create plans to reunite the administration of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, reform the government, and address internal corruption. A real political change, not a change in words only, is what the people here desire. Moreover, the upcoming government faces numerous challenges, namely rebuilding the Gaza Strip, torpedoing Israeli plans to control the coastal enclave, and managing Palestinians' lives. Mona Kandil, Occupy Jamallah.
On Saturday, thousands of people joined a new rally in the Italian capital, organized, among the others, by the Movement of the Palestinian Students and the Association of the Palestinians in Italy. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide, also saw the participation of high school students and families. People at the rally strongly condemned Italy's unwavering support to the Israeli regime.
Italy, that claims to be a democratic nation, is a country where the government goes against the people's will. Profits always come first, even when a genocide is taking place. I'm teaching my kids to never give up the fight and to never accept being submitted.
The Italian Defense Minister Guido Crosetto has recently said that Rome has continued to export arms to Israel despite assurances last year that the government was blocking such sales following Tel Aviv's invasion of the Gaza Strip. Some Italian media reports recently revealed that despite the Italian government's denials, the value of arms sales to Israel more than tripled in December 2023 compared with the same month in 2022. And December last year was the peak of Israeli bombardments on the Gaza Strip.
Western governments have been systematically supporting Zionism and Israel's criminal regime, notwithstanding the protest against Israel's crimes that have been taking place across the globe. Italy's support to Tel Aviv must stop once and for all.
La soluzione sarebbe
A solution to the onslaught in Gaza could be found if the international community stopped militarily supporting Israel. Italy, on its side, has been actively arming Israel through companies such as Leonardo and others. If we don't make sure that the Palestinians' right to self-determination is protected, and nothing will ever change.
Earlier this week, more protests and initiatives in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians were held in several Italian cities.